This is KGVM 95.9 on your dial, or you can stream us at kgvm.org. KGVM is a public broadcasting service of Bozeman, Montana, and this is the Men's Network Radio Show, weekly 7 to 8 p.m. every Thursday. You can stream this show and previous shows at kgvm.org. The Men's Network Radio is a resource for men on the path of self-discovery and self-awareness. Our sponsor tonight is Montana Roots, a local aquaponic food source of power greens. You can see their products at local groceries or contact them at info@montanaroots.org or go right to their website, montanaroots.org. Tonight, our topic is men and women building a pathway to better relationships. Our guests are Mary and Sam Ascari.
Hi.
Hi. Hello.
They just got married in Hawaii. That had to be a trip.
Yeah, about a month ago.
Yeah. That's great.
Congratulations.
Yeah, congratulations. What a place to do it.
Sure was.
And my wife, Marion Koslick, and your host, James Koslick. That's me. And we will get this show on the road.
Right.
So, one of the things I thought we might want to discuss tonight is just for starters, is let's start with Sam and Mary maybe first.
Yeah, actually,
check-in. That's a good idea. I almost forgot about that. I'm in a men's group with Evermen, and Sam Ascari is the facilitator of the group. Mm-hmm. And so it might be nice to do a...
Yeah, I'd love to.
Okay, great. Great. Do a men's check-in. This is how we do it in the group.
Yes, this is the very beginning of how we start all of our meetings. It's a super brief. Usually we try to keep it under 30 seconds, and it's essentially a physical and emotional check-in. So I'll model it, and then we'll go pass it to you, Jim, and keep going that way. And then when we're done, we can just say, I'm here, and I'm in, and everyone else can say, ho, or hear ya, or whatever. So we can all be in the same space together. So, Sam, checking in. I feel physically dryness in my throat. Back is tightening up a little bit. And my lips feel dry. My stomach feels full. Feel warm. And emotionally, I feel nervous/excited. And there's also something in my stomach that feels like it's an emotion, but I'm not sure what it is. It's too subterranean currently. And but I'm here and I'm in. I'm excited to be here.
Oh.
Everybody's looking at me, so Jim, check it in. Feel a little tightness in my shoulders. Actually, I feel tightness in my shoulders. Mm.
Good correction.
Yeah, that is. And a little kind of diminishes the actual feeling, just so you know out there and whoever's listening. Mm. So I also feel some tightness in my stomach. I feel exhilarated. I'm very grateful also that we're doing this together. Mm. I'm excited to get on with the show. So I'm in.
Aho. Marion Koslick, checking in. And my physical body, I feel some pulling in my glutes. And I'm feeling physically warm, and I'm feeling self-connected, and I feel anticipation, and I'm relaxed now, and ready, nice. Ready to start.
I'm Mary. I'm checking in. My body is feeling tingly in my chest. My back feels tight. I feel settled. Emotionally, I feel excited to hear what everyone has to say. And I'm in.
Oh. All right, so I just thought we'd start on the topic as couples, and we could just kind of go back and forth. It doesn't have to be, you know, you guys, us guys. Or, you know.
Nice.
So whoever wants to participate, just step right in. And the first thing I thought we'd just start with is, what do you like to do together to enhance closeness? So as some examples is like dance or sing or massage. Might even be something like doing community service together or personal growth workshops. What do you like to do together?
So those are some of the things that you and I like to do.
Nice.
There you go.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Our yoga together. Mm-hmm. Even couple yoga where we're actually helping with the stretches. And
That's great. Mary and I actually love doing acro yoga together.
Oh, I'm not even sure what that is.
Yeah, it's a like partnered yoga, but it's there's a base, someone on the ground, and generally that person on the ground is with his or her legs in the air flying the other person. So the other person's doing kind of acrobatic type yoga
that.
Stretches in the air.
Yeah, wow. I threw my back out just watching it.
Mary's really good. She's actually the one that taught me. So we like doing that. We also love, I love dancing actually. When we turn on music and it's a good song, sometimes we'll like lower the lights and just go crazy and start dancing barefoot boogie in the house.
Releasing any stress.
I like dancing actually, and when there's no one watching, you can dance and make it as weird as you want.
Exactly.
And then you can, and you can actually dance to stretch out tight places. You can like use it as like movement
that's
massage
how I like
or
to
something.
Dance. Even in public. I don't care.
That's good. How about you?
I like doing both of those things, but before meals that we share together, we have a little ritual that we do where we share part of our meal with our ancestors and just share our intentions in the land and give some gratitude. And that makes me feel really close to you and feel connected.
So I'm curious about how that works. If you're sharing it with your ancestors, is it the expression and the words, or do you actually put a portion of your plate of your food on your plate for them?
Yeah, we put a little portion, a little delicious bite with all the good stuff, and then we actually
open the door
and
fling it out in the
fling
yard.
Fling it out,
to the garden.
To the garden,
just to the land.
Which oftentimes it goes directly to our dog.
Exactly. We call him the teeth
the
of God.
The instrument of God.
But it's a ritual we learned from friends of ours, and it's been really a wonderful part of our day together.
And we also love hiking. Love being outside. Backpacking is probably both of our favorite. Anytime we're in nature, our favorite thing to do is just be outside. Taking naps under a tree in the summer. It's a nice thing. On the grass.
Yeah, it really is.
Or meditating in nature. Just sitting and listening to the wind blow and the creek or the river.
Some things that I really enjoyed is early on when we first got together, Marion and I, and was doing personal growth workshops. We almost became junkies doing it for a while. I really liked it because I was kind of an introvert, and it really helped me to really search within myself and learn how to better communicate, with my partner, so we weren't strangers all the time.
That's great.
Yeah, so that was the other thing that this is going to sound kind of weird, but sometimes I get into certain things feeling like, well, if I do this, kind of like, not an obligation, but like, oh, it's really weird, you know. Well, this will get me points if I learn how to sew or do some quilting or something like that, you know.
Points with who?
With my wife or women.
That's
or whatever.
Interesting.
You know, what I'm saying is, you know, certain things that seem more feminine, you know, and being willing to explore that area, you know. And then I found myself, wow, this is pretty cool. I really enjoy doing this. You know, but it was taking that first step, kind of going beyond what I thought.
The comfort zone.
The comfort zone, yeah. You know.
That actually brings up, I think, one of the things that actually where how we fell in love and what we love to do the most is journeying into areas that are outside of our comfort zone together and learning new things, which is what you're saying when you say you'd go to personal growth workshops. Like, we've done things like that. I just wouldn't call them that, but it's actually, that's what they are. I mean, they're things we go to outside of the state or in the state that we sign up for, or we, you know, whether it's a music festival or, you know, some sort of thing that's aimed at like bringing out a part of us that we haven't yet discovered or experienced, or diving deeper into, like, we just actually as a couple, and with two other couples, my brother, his girlfriend, and my sister, we all went to a grief ritual all together, and that was incredible. It was so powerful, really moving, and brought us all much closer together. So
that's amazing. Great.
Yeah,
I'd love to hear about that. Was it right there in Bozeman?
No, this was in Washington.
Okay.
Yeah. And then I guess to bookmark when I said we fell in love doing something that was new and like out of the ordinary, like venturing into like unknown space, we went to Burning Man together.
Oh, no kidding.
And that was our first time.
Burning Man, and your partner comes with you? or you just happened to be a partner that was willing to go?
Well, we were independently going.
And oh,
we
I
went
see.
Together, but we weren't like officially together.
I yeah. see. Yeah. I understand. Okay.
Yeah. And then we fell in love there.
In the process. Yeah.
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 That's neat. Sweet.
Yeah. What a place to have an adventure like
that. Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's quite the place. I can definitely talk about that a lot. We've run out of things to talk about. We can book more.
Well, I'm guessing you met each other's points of vulnerability.
Yeah. All the filters wash away.
Oh, right.
Yes. You're looking at the
core.
The core of a person. And yeah.
And then you decide, hey, I could live with that person. Or I could
there's
could
no
stay
decision
together.
About it. It's yeah, just my happens. Heart told me. Yeah. Yeah. I could just feel it.
Yeah.
And we saw each other.
Yeah.
Really right. clearly.
The without, real the
yeah.
real deal.
Mm-hmm. Without any of those filters like you were saying, or any of the cultural yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Barriers.
And stories.
Yeah.
Yeah. Beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm surprised to hear about this moving out of your comfort zone to earn some points. That's surprising. I never.
That's cool, though.
I don't remember you ever sharing that. Although I always saw you looking really comfortable doing everything with the ladies. We had a quilting group.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, after a while, the guys kind of get boring. You know, let's go fishing. Okay. What are you going to do today? Same thing. You know? So then I like to get it. And then, you know, there's a whole different communication with women. You know, than with guys all the time. And I was always wanting to investigate that. What is it like, you know?
Yeah, I feel
in the meantime, I was yearning, and when I got into the men's group, I was yearning for a men's group for so long, you know, because I was tired of being being in women's groups and stuff, you know?
Yeah.
So, it really is going. But the earning the points, I told you that was weird.
Okay. I don't know if that it's weird. It's just I'm surprised. I never understood
well, it's
it
like,
that way.
It's like, well, remember that movie with Mel Gibson, What Do Women Want?
Oh.
No.
Movie comedy?
I don't.
Or he can hear movies. What they're saying.
Yeah. Oh, maybe they want this. this. Good. I'll get a scoreboard here. No.
Must be a generational thing.
Oh, I don't know. Do you have that, Sam? Or you do things because you know women will like it?
No, I mean, because I've actually kind of like what you're saying. I feel for a long time I felt most comfortable communicating with women, and like women are the easiest to be around. Until I started doing a lot of this men's work stuff, and then I started to break down those, you know, really, to be honest, they were fears I had of other men, mm-hmm. like that I'm going to be judged, or on the more extreme end of the spectrum, like get my ass beat, you know, things like that. Mm-hmm. Just with, you know, I mean, that's just my experience that I had growing up, you know, mm-hmm. that it was the men that were passing the judgment, or, you know, making it feel unacceptable or unsafe to be the full spectrum of who I am. So I felt for a long time I was way more comfortable around women, and I had a lot of close women as friends, but men too. So yeah, I didn't feel like I was doing things for points that I can recall.
Yeah, I feel like I can relate to that, though, now that I'm reflecting, you know, when I've had jobs where it's been primarily guys that I've worked with, I've definitely, you know, been like, oh, you know, if I know how to run a chainsaw, I'm on the, you know, they're gonna look at me right. as equal, and you know, like, oh, if I can get this truck unstuck from our field work, then I'm gonna have the cool guy points, you know, and things like that. And also, even, you know, if I make dirty jokes and I seem like I'm cool with that kind of thing,
makes
then
sense.
Yeah, and there I mean, I was in my early 20s at that time, but I do know the feeling of like, oh, what can I do to get some extra points with this group,
okay.
you know? So
okay.
I can relate.
Late. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like when I took automobile mechanic class mm-hmm. in my 20s. Mm-hmm. And it was, there were a couple women mm-hmm. and mostly men. And then was able to change a transmission, our mm-hmm. transmission truck with Jim.
And nothing. I didn't want anything
to do with it, but it was intriguing. Mm-hmm. I loved it. Mm-hmm. And I didn't think of it in terms of wanting points. I just wanted the androgynous mm-hmm. sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And not to feel so intimidated by an automobile.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And getting stranded.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. it was basics.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because that's that whole point about androgyny, even from
mm-hmm.
my side. Boy, I've gotten into this quilting thing,
mm-hmm.
and it's like, it's just a whole other art form,
mm-hmm.
uh-huh.
and I'm in the art and creativity.
Mm-hmm.
And so putting that term androgynous, my mm-hmm. androgynous side coming
mm-hmm.
forth,
mm-hmm.
is much more
Understandable
as opposed mm-hmm. to thinking, ooh, boy, something's mm-hmm. wrong with me there. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah, I like that. Because to me, when I hear both of your experiences, it sounds really healthy. Like you were intrigued by something and went for it. And, you know, those don't have to be related to a gender, right? Like we've mm-hmm. given the assignment, or we've been given the assignment that right. some things are for girls and some things are for boys. But now we're in a time where those gender assignments don't mean the same things, and people mm-hmm. are challenging them, and both of you have found your own expression of being curious about something that maybe wouldn't have been assigned to you, you know, which I think sounds really healthy
yeah.
and cool that you're interested in a transmission and you're interested in quilting. I think that's really inspiring and cool.
Yeah, it is.
Mm. And I quilt too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but he does so much. He does it so much quicker and more efficiently. Well,
for
there
the
you go.
Part.
That's the part that we had a riff the other day about, was comparing, or that I did, because comparing oneself doesn't really work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, having comparing just.
Yeah.
Get you on a hook.
Mm-hmm. I heard someone say, comparison is the thief of happiness.
Yeah, truly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think Cowboy has something to say.
Cowboy's staring me.
Yeah, our dog just joined us at the table.
Yeah.
So if you hear a tongue slapping, it's not one of us.
Well, here's another question I got for everybody. Another topic. How do you honor the other person's independence, like with other relationships? You know, like let's say you're at a party or something? Do you cling to each other, or you feel confident enough to part ways and make new contacts, and whether it's opposite sex, whatever, it doesn't matter. You know, do you feel possessive, jealous, what happens, intimidated? Just throwing it out there for anybody that wants to start.
We're dispersers. Whenever we're in a party, we kind of disperse and mingle separately, and then we come and check in with each other, and then we're on our own.
Yeah, that'll be a long period where we won't even see each other at a party.
That's true.
Well, especially if you did the Burning Man. There had to be a lot of...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we weren't...
on there.
Yeah, we weren't together that... a lot of it, but when we were, it was a very deep time. I think it's important for me to feel like I can explore freely, and I know it's important to you, and I think it makes our relationship much richer for us to be able to do our own things, and actually our day-to-day lives, we have different work that we do, and we go off to those, and then we have our evenings together and our weekends together. And that's been working well for us. We're in that time in life, too, where, you know, we're really pretty independent, and getting to have that and then still have a partner is really great. I don't know what you...
Yeah, I totally agree with what you said, honey. Yeah, I think that for me, like, when I see Mary engaging with someone else and making, being really connected, I feel a sense of, pride, or because I know how amazing of a person she is, I'm glad that someone else is getting to experience being with her and talking to her and getting to see, like, now you see why I've married her, you know, like, I'm excited for people to get to connect with you, and I think it's so healthy.
Yeah, and when I first met Sam, I was so excited because he had so many female friends, and I just... that feels really special when men are attracted and drawn to women, not sexually, you know, like when they value and respect someone as a person and as a friend, it feels really amazing. It's just a different experience than I've had in other relationships I've had. So I always get really happy too when you take time to, you know, do what you need to do. Like, you know, Sam does a lot of music, which isn't a part of my life, and I don't feel that drawn to, but you make time to make music with other people that I don't know very well, and you always come back so enriched and happy and filled. Like, you're full in a way that makes me feel so happy too.
Yeah, I think what it boils down to is, like, anything that I feel brings you joy, I'm like in total support of.
Yes.
Ultimately I want to support your growth and your happiness.
Yes, I feel the same way for you.
So, you know, and that doesn't mean that there won't be things in the future that are going to be difficult for me to, you know, to see, you know, they'll be difficult, but if ultimately that's like the thing that makes it, like, I can bless it. I can, I can be good with that. Yeah,
it'll be interesting to check in with you both after several years of marriage. Because even though we were together 3 years before we got married, there have been other attractions, I would say, relationship attractions, and I think the thing that meant the most to me was how much honor James gave to me to explore that and be free with it, not on a, you know, not intimately, because that's not where it was important. Although at the time being, there was an attraction that could have went that way, and because Jim was so allowing, and your happiness means more than me possessing you, I didn't want to jeopardize what we had. You know, I didn't want to take advantage of that type of a trust and that deep of a love.
Mm, yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah, that's thanks for sharing that. Mm-hmm. That's a really...
Thank you.
Yeah.
You're sharing that. That's great. I know exactly what you're talking about. But I know for me, as nice as all that sounds, I had to fight through jealousy and possessiveness and distrust. And you know, so it was a real battle there for me personally to check in with that and at the same time allow her the space that she needed to be who she is.
Wow, and what was your journey into that? Because I think that's probably something, you know, we'll probably encounter that in our time together, and most people probably encounter where one person needs freedom and the other person doesn't want to lose that. You know, that seems like that's a common pattern in a relationship. One person needs a lot of freedom, and they're afraid of losing themselves, and the other person is afraid of losing their partner. You know, so what was your journey with jealousy?
Yeah, I think through the whole process of that and is learning to love myself first. And I found once I love myself, then I don't feel alone.
Yeah.
So if a relationship comes and goes, I still have myself to love.
Yeah, you don't have to hold on to it.
Right.
You don't have to have it.
Right.
Cling on.
Because then all of a sudden marrying becomes an object.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's mine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think, you know, through the years, all the chivalry and stuff like that, you follow back with men and, you know, I'm going to protect my woman.
Yeah.
You know, and so it's, I could never, that just wasn't part of me.
Yeah.
Way back when, so but then learning to love myself was huge for me.
Yeah, probably all issues boil down to that right there.
Really
to get
does.
Getting
it
down to
really
that first,
because if you're not securing your love for oneself, how can you possibly look outward and be secure with
absolutely
a relationship, which I'm guessing is the reason divorces are so frequent.
Or breakups and all sorts of stuff.
Looking to the other person to fill your
all your needs.
Yeah. And this actually is a good, like, natural segue into something we talked about previously before the show, is about codependency and how, like, I feel that one of the worst things and the most common things that, like, really the thing that breaks people apart is they come together, they love each other, and they're separate enough where they can see each other as, like, individuals, and then they come together and then they get enmeshed or entangled to the point where they don't see where their issues end and the other person's begin, and it just becomes this battle of, instead of the person being a mirror, which is what relationships really are, is like, this person's going to bring up the things in you that are unresolved, that are unhealed, that aren't mature enough, you start blaming the other person, like, oh my God, they're so, you know, this, or she just doesn't understand me, and then it just becomes this, like, you start speaking different languages, and you can't see, like, that neither of you can have space enough to see where your issues begin and where the others start, and then able to work on them as individuals to, you know, untie the knot and become, you know, like, the metaphor my dad always uses, like, the highest form of relationship is like two eagles flying side by side. You know, they're both powerful and strong, but together, you know, it's the best. You're flying together. It's like the most beautiful
thing in the
world. You're
getting to enjoy the time together.
Yeah. You're not like rolling around on the ground in a knot.
And it sounds like, you know, Jim, your experience was the opposite of being enmeshed. Like, you were able to take some time and say, what's going on inside of myself? Like, I do not feel love of self right now, and that's making me feel jealousy. And a lot of people don't get the opportunity to look at yourself first and see, like, what is the jealousy bring? What is that inside of me? Or whatever the issue is. Like, why do I feel angry about you spending time with someone? You know, like, what is it inside of myself? And I think in an enmeshed situation, you say, this person is doing this to me. They are making me feel this. And sometimes that's the case if someone is, you know, crossing boundaries that have been created in the relationship, but sometimes it's not there. It's more like we're not able to look inside of ourselves first.
And to realize that any situation that comes up is for our growth, our personal growth, and so that's why it's so important to go to self and look at what is this gift that this opportunity is bringing me, or these circumstances. And I didn't get that early on. I was already, you know, exploring some interests that I had that this other person was able to enhance in me. And so only later did I realize that it was also a time when I chose to value honorability and and I was going to say stick-to-itiveness, but maybe perseverance in a relationship where Jim was spending a lot of time doing some of his things that he was interested in, and I was raising our first son. And so, yeah, that's how it happens, you know?
Yeah, is there something I was hoping to read by a guy named, who was one of the very first interview I had on the show, Boyson Hodgins, and I got a newsletter from him the other day, and it was all about men being present for their loved ones, their family, and that the family and the loved ones know when they're not there for them, you know? And it still happens today. I think the other day, here I'm reading a book and she's talking to me, and I didn't acknowledge Marion at all, you know? But on a different level, we're busy with our work, we're busy with who we are, we're busy with everything else, and we forget about who really loves us, our kids and our wife, and, you know? And so,
and what's the glue that keeps us together?
And so it's like a real wake-up call, you know, when we had this thing going on, you know? It's like, oh, wow. Yeah. So
that's good. Yeah, it's almost like the way the glue is the tending of the relationship, and you can't tend things you're not present for. And I think maybe that's, you know, there's a lot of reasons why there's so few people that make it past, you know, 10 years. I mean, you guys are at 40 years, which is amazing. But I think part of it might just be that we're not present for much anymore in our lives because we're so busy and so distracted. And so we're not really there. And if we're not there, like, how can we expect the other person to know who we are? And how can we expect ourselves to know who we are if we're not taking time to just
Be self-aware, be mindful. You know, that's it. You know, the path of self-awareness is that mindfulness of being present for whoever we're with.
Yeah.
It's like even on the show right now, being present here. I'm not thinking about the stock market.
Thank goodness.
and actually, just Jim taking that to, like, what we practice in our men's group, it's being present for our emotions and, like, what's happening inside of ourselves, too, instead of always being distracted so we don't have that stillness or that time to allow what's inside to come out. And then, you know, this is, I think, the epidemic of our times. We have a bunch of adults that are kids. Like, we have a bunch of grown men that are really just young boys.
Right.
And same with a lot of women, too. Like, they have not gone past their adolescence. They've never had, I mean, we're going to a huge topic here about the rites of passage and healthy role models and elders and mentors, and it's been torn apart. So we have these people who are, you know, doing all the things adults should do, like having kids, making millions, keeping their bank accounts in order, you know, dressing well, but they're inside, they're teenagers. I mean, nothing wrong with teenagers, but they're at the level of maturity of kids.
It's so true. And then they're not really ready to face the responsibility of parenthood or even a relationship, let alone parenthood.
Yeah, the difficulty of even being present with other people, because sometimes that can be painful. Sometimes that brings up emotions that aren't within our realm of presence or window of presence.
Our comprehension.
Our comprehension. We can't be in our prefrontal cortex, we just immediately go to our limbic system.
The reptilian.
We're reptilian. And
fight or flight.
Fight, flight, mm-hmm. freeze.
Right.
And it's hard for us to move past that.
Right.
That's why I'm so glad flotation tanks are available.
Oh, really? Say more about that. What do they do? I haven't done one yet.
James and I had a flotation business when we were early.
Did you really?
In Colorado.
Oh,
we did a flotation business. And so it takes, when you're in a sensory deprivation and you're floating on the water, you're going through the different brain waves. And so you can reach delta fairly quickly when you've done it enough.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the deepest state. It's beyond dreaming.
Mm.
And you become really relaxed. And so you work out traumas. You work out emotional issues.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
They just surface.
Yeah.
You can't not do it. It just comes.
It just comes. I think that's a huge thing, too, is just the unresolved trauma in the world and people not
and
knowing.
Childhood.
And childhood. Yeah, wherever they come from in our lifetime, and a lot of people don't have a way of releasing.
Releasing we carry all that baggage in our subconscious mind.
Yes.
And so that's where all that thought just gets stored.
Stuffed.
All those beliefs.
Yep, all those beliefs. So when a recurring event comes up, go back in your subconscious, well, this is what's going to happen. You know, instead of being able to change it. I just had Zero Gravity on the show, I think a couple weeks ago. Right there in Bozeman, and
so it would be good
about that.
It would be worthwhile to gift each other with that. They even have a double flotation
double
where you can float together.
Oh my god!
Do that together.
Oh, that's
wow! That sounds rad.
They also have group rates for the
Nice.
Group.
Oh my god!
Oh,
really?
That's a great idea.
Yeah,
it's a really good.
Oh, she totally did it over the holidays.
It's not cheap.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Well, they got group rates, but
I went once.
It'd be worthwhile checking it out.
Check it out.
That's so cool.
So another thing I want to throw out here to everybody. So, do you have other people you can rely on for emotional support when you can't get it from your partner? If we're not there for you, and vice versa. Who do you go to? Ghostbusters?
Well, for me, it would be a big one is the men's group we're a part of every week.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I can go anywhere with that group of guys. And, you know, another one is, for me, nature, honestly. And that was the first one I ever went to when I was in high school. I think just because my peers wouldn't have been able to meet me there with what I needed, I went to the Yellowstone River, you know, which luckily I still live right next to, and that just feels like I can always get what I need sitting in nature and letting out what I need to let out, whether it's, you know, just being still, or, you know, I used to sing songs, or, you know, just like kind of sing my prayers, like call for what I needed and let it out, and then just listen, look, and feel and receive. So I think it's a big one for me. I do have friends, too, that I can reach out to, but I rarely ever do that. I feel really blessed to have a partner that I feel can, like, I don't know, we have just have a relationship where I feel that we can really hold space and it doesn't burden the other person. It doesn't ever feel like you're relying upon me too much.
Yeah, and I think that's in part because we both do our own. We both have places that process. You go to men's group, and I go to a counselor every week, and I've been doing that for a few years. And it's somatic therapy, which is body-based, if you haven't heard of it. It's very similar to the check-ins that we just did in the beginning of the show. You stay present to your body, and your window of awareness about what's happening in your body gets a little bit bigger, a little bit bigger, a little bit bigger. And every time you can stay present to it, it starts releasing things that need to be released. They just move through your body naturally. And a lot of it is, for me, around previous traumas. But also, my window gets a little bit bigger into things like joy and happiness. I just get more present to those experiences in life. And I think that makes it really easy for us to be together,
that's
that we're
point.
Not relying solely on each other to, because we're not professionals, and also, you know, like, there are things related to being a man that I can't relate to. Right. There are things about my experience that are hard for me to, you know, expect you to understand and expect you to resolve for me. I think that we've been really fortunate that we have other people that we can go to, and tools that we've learned through workshops and through these other avenues that we can bring into our conversation, where we can say, like, what's happening in your body, and I can tell you what's happening in my body, and just these very simple things, breathing, and
it's been a world of a difference.
And also, we've been really lucky that we've met healthy couples, like you two, having been together for almost 42 years, and just hearing your experiences. You know, we learn things when we're meeting these people who have long relationships, and they've gone through the hard stuff, and there's little tips and tricks sometimes that come with that, and also just the foundation of love that you feel when you're around that. Like, we're very consciously building that together right now at the very beginning of our marriage, and hoping that, you know, that helps get us through whatever comes up.
Truly, because life can throw a hard ball every now and then.
Fastball.
What about for you two? Do you have people that you...
I'm in a weekly group. It's primarily women. Jim has been a pretty good devotee. It's a nonviolent communication group. And so I studied with Marsha for 4 years, going to his workshops, and then we have a practice group in Immigrant that we... And it's a pretty intimate group. And we have a dance that we do. We have cards. The first card is judgments and blaming, so you hear what's going on in your internal dialogue. The next one is observing. When I hear what's going on in my head, I feel, and you tune into your feelings. And then from your feelings, you go directly to your need. What needs are not being met or are being met, because sometimes it's a happy dance. And then after that, we make a request, either ourselves or someone else.
Awesome. I like how it's
so
simple.
So we're standing, and each card is a different color, so it's triggering different brain waves, and we're moving. So we did it for 9 years. We did the practice group with sitting on the couch and talking until someone went to a workshop and learned about the cards. And once we got the cards, we were making leaps. It was such a dramatic difference. The movement, the colors.
That's interesting. I'd like to see those.
That's really cool. I could bring up the men's group one
day. That'd be cool to try that.
That's a great idea.
I'd like to.
They got me going on it, and it's really great, because you might be over here thinking you're an observation, all of a sudden, oh, that's a feeling, and you jump over there.
Yeah, so you can go back and forth.
You know?
That's very cool.
Yeah, it's really nice, and there's somebody who'll point that out to you, and then you, all of a sudden you jump on that card, needs or feelings, and all of a sudden you're there. And so now if you're really present with that, all of a sudden, okay, so what am I feeling? It stops, it takes you out of judgment or observation or whatever.
It's owning, like, your state, your actual state.
Where you're actually at. Thinking where you're at, but where you really are.
And it's very helpful in a group situation. We do it together. If we have an unresolved issue that we're not, let's get the cards out and do the dance. Because then you're owning where you're at. You're blaming. You might blame on the card, but we all know that we blame. And we evaluate situations or each other. And so you're taking responsibility for what's going on in your self, and then you're moving it from there to, oh, it's because I'm feeling and I'm needing this, and then make a request. Do you think you could listen to me when I'm talking to you? would it be possible to
give me some? It'd be funny whenever I would go to group and all the other ladies are there. Boy, they would know all our dirty laundry. Oh, we know who you're talking about, James.
That's all right.
Yeah, I'd love for you to bring those to men's groups someday. It'd be a cool thing to facilitate.
Yeah, that sounds really cool.
That'd be good.
What about you, dear? Oh, you have the men's group.
Now I got men's group, but every so often I drop in on the, especially if I was home, I drop in on their NBC, which was really good. Even though a lot of times I go, well, I don't know if I need it anymore. Come on. So they twist my arm, get me in there. Sure enough, hop on the cards, and next thing I know, I'm working on something.
Yeah.
It was really amazing. Like you, I really like nature, so that's my biggest connection is just going into nature. Just being one with nature, you know. There's something about it that that gets me there. Backcountry skiing, something physical. Even chopping wood, you know. Physical thing all of a sudden gets me in a whole other mindset.
Gets in your body.
Shifts the energy.
Because I'm not thinking anymore. You know, I get out of that thought process. And so then it's kind of somatic. You're feeling.
I was doing that today.
In fact, you mentioned something the other night about a somatic workshop or something you were thinking of doing.
I was actually that was my stretch for the week, is finding calling this somatic based therapist actually. In Bozeman, actually the guy that works with Mary's therapist. It's kind of like what we're doing in men's group, but it'd be for an hour versus our 5 to 10 minute check-in, which I think could really benefit where I'm at right now. Actually, on that topic, one thing I wanted to, that just kind of popped in my head about, you know, couples that only rely upon each other for their, especially men, I feel, when they partner up with someone, their partner, their woman is the only person they can get emotional or vulnerable with. So then the woman ends up taking this, you know, 40-year-old man's, all of his emotional stuff that he's never had. Baggage and luggage just from being in the man box of feeling all these things that he can't share with his buddies, can't share at work, you know, for fear of being shamed or or, you know, pushed aside. And then that's a strain on the relationship for both the man and the woman. I think it actually goes both ways. So I'm a really strong proponent in counseling. I think every modern day human needs some form of inner work, whether it's, you know, your own spiritual practice or, you know, a therapist. And I think therapy is amazing nowadays, especially somatic based therapy, because it, it's just excelling, you know, leaps and bounds beyond talk therapy. Because it gets you out of that loop in your head, into the store. Like a lot of the new science on addiction and stuff is realizing that it's actually trauma in our bodies that causes these life debilitating, you know, addictions and habits. It's not a disease or something wrong with you. It's actually because there's these things inside your body that we need to release that we don't, you know, because we're conditioned in our culture to not cry or emote or express when the event happens. Yeah, I mean, I could go more into that of like the whole philosophy. It's pretty fascinating what, you know, what we're learning now with the somatic therapy and healing.
It's powerful.
Interesting. Yeah, it's powerful. There is so much stuff out there these days. Boy, it's amazing.
A lot of resources, and it helps a lot if you can find the one that works works with where you're at.
Truly.
How do you ask your partner for empathy? You do it better than me.
I don't know. I was just inwardly hearing myself say, I generally demand it.
That's what I was saying, thinking too. Yeah. I should just straight up ask, with like, you need to be more, you need to listen to me more.
I mean,
you're not understanding.
I can be empathic when I'm not stimulated. Although once I'm stimulated by something that is connected to you, then empathy goes out the window. And I'm back to being a 2-year-old and demanding it, or maybe 3. And, you know, having a tantrum, maybe. Just not a good scene. So I would go to a friend before I would come to you if it's related, if the empathy I need isn't
especially if I can't
relate to you.
If I can't give it.
Well, generally I'm too stimulated to even ask. It's like, gotta go somewhere else.
Yeah.
Yeah, because over the time, if it takes me time to process,
mm-hmm.
and sometimes it's more than like 30 seconds,
mm-hmm.
and it gets you more agitated, doesn't it?
Well, agitated, huh? I guess that's what you're looking for. Furious. I already know the scenarios that it just won't work, so I just go and I can go in nature as well, mm-hmm. if a friend's not available, and I can give myself empathy. Mm-hmm. Sometimes that's more effective than asking for it from you in particular.
Sure, and I think when those times come up, for me, I'm still searching how to give myself the empathy first.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She's attacking me, so now I go on defense.
Mm-hmm.
Wrong, you know, defense. Well, she knows right away I'm on defense. Well, but I haven't processed it myself. And by processing, I don't mean thinking it through. If I start going there and thinking, it's like, then I'm feeling blamed or attacked or whatever.
Right, that's the word you use, is attacked.
Mm-hmm.
And so it really is in the choice of words, being mindful of the words that we use so that we can be heard.
Yeah, well, and not only that, for giving myself empathy before I can give you empathy, I have to not make you the enemy.
Right.
So I have to go in, and what am I feeling? Nervous, anxious. That sure is better than feeling blamed, wrong, attacked, you know.
And if he could express that to me, I'm feeling nervous. I'm feeling nervous, and I need some time. I need some time to breathe and process. I can hear that. I can hear that almost better than just when he just isn't there anymore.
For me, it's simple. It's so, and in fact, when I first started men's group, I remember the main thing I've been working on all still is not to be reactionary, because then I get into the fight or flight, and then I'm ready to fight. So now I'm not in. Now I am. Mm-hmm. She is the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, that's so interesting, because it's like, well, this is more of a question, I don't have the answer, but when you experience that fight or flight, like from what I understand about somatic-based therapies, you go back into those traumas where you couldn't fight, flight, or and you froze, essentially, and you go back into those experiences and allow your body to fully feel the anger or the rage or the sadness, and you allow those emotions to release. So yeah, I wonder, you know, in that situation, like, it's natural to become irritated or angry when you feel triggered or threatened, you know, so I wonder, like, how to do that in the, maybe it's not something to be done in the moment with your partner.
Yeah, no. At least in the work that I've done, you know, like I was saying, they call it, or the terminology they use is your window of presence. So when I'm releasing those experiences, I'm doing it within my window of presence. And once you're out of that, it's hard to get the work done.
Could you describe that a little bit?
Yeah, what's the window of presence?
How would it look?
Just the space where you have the capacity to stay with what's going on. And a lot of times we get thrown out of our window and we go into fight, flight, freeze. One of those, you know, like if you get thrown out of your window, you go into how do I protect myself in whatever mechanisms you have. And you're not really able to release them. A lot of the time, I think sometimes it can actually re-traumatize us. But when your window is big, you can contain that experience. You can say, okay, I'm feeling really threatened right now. It's coming up in my chest.
And you're staying present with it.
And you can track where that is in your body, and then it can release itself. But if you're in the space where you're not in your window, then you just need to get out of there.
You need to
fight. You need to freeze. Yeah, I think for us, when we get to that place, you know, we have a very similar pattern where Sam will get really defensive if I bring up something too heated. And that's a similar pattern for us. And we just have to take a time out. You know, like we're not in our window right now. Like we need some time. And that can be really hard to slow down and take time. That's been really, like, we're still really working on figuring out the best way to be like, okay, hold on. We're not going anywhere.
Stop.
Yeah, it's like we're not going anywhere right now. Like,
what I'll say often is like I can't even hear you anymore.
Yeah.
Like
yeah,
it literally feels like I'm
too painful.
Yeah, my mind is shutting down and the words just going one ear out the other because I'm so absorbed with how I'm feeling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and
then she usually honors that. It's like okay, like
yeah,
we're done then.
Yeah, if Sam says I can't hear you, I just say okay.
And she's really compassionate about it. She's not like fine.
Yeah.
Do it later. She's like, okay, gosh. She's compassionate and being like, oh, his system, like, you know, this body, this being, this person, it can no longer hear me. It's not his fault.
Yeah. This
like, he can't just turn his hearing aid up louder.
Yeah.
You know?
It's yeah. Like, it's not that he's choosing not to listen to me. It's that you don't feel safe.
Yeah. There's something that's my wires are crossed.
Yeah. Right. It's something is triggered. I'm triggering you or whatever it is. Like, we're not in the place where we can communicate effectively. So we just take a pause, and I do the same thing where I'm like, I don't feel like I am saying what I need to say. And then, you know, sometimes it's really hard. Like, you know, Sam will take like these really long, deep breaths, but he'll honor me if I say like, I can't do it right now. And we've been really respectful with each other's boundary when it's like, I don't feel safe right now. And then we pick it up when we can.
I like that statement. I don't feel safe right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That could be very helpful.
Right.
What we generally, we've done the stop, and then generally we do automatically, we just stop. We might continue doing what we're doing, but we're not engaging.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think we've...
I like this, though. I do, too. I think we need to pay more attention to that within each other.
Right.
And speaking for myself.
My sense of this window is the time when we're giving, for me, it's when I'm giving myself empathy because this isn't working.
Mm-hmm.
I am stressed. I am feeling rage, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I need space.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it's a fact that when someone's in pain, they can't hear. It just doesn't even... Why waste the breath?
Yeah.
And although sometimes I have to admit that I'm almost like a two-year-old having a... You know, especially... I think it really escalated because I knew he was going to the men's group and that we had a limited amount of time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had to
be resolved. Now. I can't, I'm not going to be able to go to sleep. And
And
what could happen on the route from here to there in the dark?
Yeah.
It's too traumatic of a thought.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, like sometimes we can't take the time. It has to be taken care of in the moment. And.
Yeah.
And I think that can be if you take time, it can get slippery slope where you take too much time and then all of a sudden 10 years have gone by and you've never resolved it. And, you know, I saw that with my parents, you know, where they just couldn't even get through very simple things. They just put it on the back burner and started ignoring each other, right? Like that can happen too.
Yeah.
So I think it's a balance between the partners about figuring out when is... You know, we all have inner childs that sometimes need to be met when the moment is coming up. And I have experienced a lot of my own inner child, and Sam is often the person that's there when it's like, I am having a tantrum, and it's going to look like it's directed at you, and you just got to ride with it for now, or like, you need to help me through this. And luckily, we've been in the situation where Sam's available to that, but you know, I'm glad that it hasn't gone unresolved for forever and ever.
Good that you're at that point now before the children children come on the scene. I do want to just say that so the resolve that we went to when it needed to happen now was to just light a candle and look into each other's eyes and let the soul speak to soul.
So it was really sweet though.
Yeah, and that's the beauty of that's the beauty of difficult situations as we grow stronger.
We grow.
So, folks, we can make this into a two-part series.
Okay.
I'm suggesting we take a break right now, and we'll be back shortly.
All right, sounds good.